Well, good morning to you all. I'm very blessed to be here this morning already. I really appreciated the song service this morning. It was spoke to me. A few of the songs. I always really enjoyed singing, and song services are always a blessing to me, just to worship God with singing. I'm very thankful I can come to a place like this and worship. Aiden said a little bit about that. We don't know how long we'll be able to worship openly like this. There's a lot of people that are doing it in secret, and they don't know what it's like to openly worship God. I want to be more thankful for this in my life and thank God more often for it. I know I don't thank Him enough for it. That's a little bit what I want to talk about this morning is thankfulness, having a thankful heart. This is the time of the year everyone observes a day we call Thanksgiving. It's last Thursday. I always enjoy this time of the year. It's everybody seems to be happy, you know, and Thanksgiving started back in 1621. That's when the first Thanksgiving was. I thought it was interesting. It was by the pilgrims that came over in the Mayflower. They had harvested their first harvest of corn or whatever else they had planted here in America. And they had a bountiful harvest. They had plenty of food for the winter, and so they just set aside a day of Thanksgiving. Invited people over and made a feast, and so that's where Thanksgiving Day comes from. I'd like to turn to Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. So it tells us here in the first verse in 5, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." It has a bunch of very good instruction there in the whole chapter. And then 19 and 20 is where I wanted to get to. It says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God in the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it tells us to give thanks always for all things. When I read that, I thought, what does that mean, always for all things? Giving thanks always, that means all the time. Am I constantly thanking God for the many blessings we have? And we have so much to be thankful for. And then it says, for all things. What is all things? That means everything, right? That means even when I'm going through a trial in my life or something that is hard for me, can I thank God for it? We know that the trials God brings in our lives are only for our good. They're never to hurt us, but to build us up and make us stronger. He has a divine purpose and plan for everything He puts in our life. When I think of it that way, it makes it easier for me to thank God for the things He brings to my life. I also like to read Psalms 100. I'm just going to read the whole chapter here. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. So it tells us here to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and be thankful unto him. And then it tells us why. It says, the Lord is good. Here in verse 5, it says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. His mercy is something we should all be very thankful for. I know it's something that we can thank him for every day. If it wouldn't be for God's mercy, none of us would be where we are today. And there's a story here I'd like to read. It says, it's a story about God's mercy. A story has been told of a mother who once approached an emperor seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded death. But I don't ask for justice, the mother explained. I plead for mercy. But your son does not deserve mercy, Napoleon replied. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. Well then, the emperor said, I will have mercy. And he spared the woman's son. This is a beautiful example of what God did for us in my life. We have a lot to thank him for. He is such a great and wonderful God, full of mercy, and he only wants what's best for us. Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight, this is David, he's saying, at midnight will I rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. He's also a God of judgment. If we do not accept the mercy of God, we will be judged accordingly. And David says here, he would rise at midnight to give thanks to God. That challenged me. I know I don't do that very often. I noticed in the first two passages I read there, it's telling us to be thankful and sing. Singing is right in there with thankfulness. Singing is portraying a thankful heart to God. If we sing and worship God and sing, that's portraying a thankful heart to God. That blessed me when I thought of that. What got me started thinking about thankfulness in my life, and we were down in Mexico there a couple of days. There's a lot of people down there that they don't hardly have anything. They have their tent, and they have a few belongings in their tent, and that's all they had. And comparing that with what I have here, it spoke to me. I have a lot to be thankful for. We're very blessed here in America. We have today, if you make more than $10 a day, you are one of the 20% of people that do. 80% of the world's population makes less than $10 a day. And if you own your own vehicle, you are the 9% of people that do. 91% of the world's population do not own their own vehicle. I'd say most of us make well over $10 a day. And I know at least a lot of us have access to at least two vehicles. How could I ever be unthankful or complain? How could I ever have a grumbling attitude or not be thankful for things I have? 1 Timothy 6:8 says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's food and clothes. It says if we have food and clothes, we should be content and not wish for more. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 3. 3 verses 1 through 4. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So I have a whole list of things here that men will be in the last days. I looked at some, when I read it, I looked at some of them, like, it says, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I thought, wow, that's, there were some pretty serious things, you know. And I looked on down there, and unthankfulness is right in there with him. That spoke to me. It's, God doesn't take unthankfulness lightly. He looks at it seriously. He doesn't want us to have a grumbling and complaining attitude. We don't need to always be, for grumbling and complaining, we don't always need to be saying something, but if we just have that attitude, that it's seems like it's the same thing. Yeah, I'd like to look at some examples how God responded to grumbling and complaining. 1 Corinthians 10, 10 through 11. It says, 1 Corinthians 10, 10 through 11. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So that's talking about the children of Israel there. So I'll just turn to that. It's in Numbers 14. So this is when the children of Israel had come to the land of Canaan. They were almost there, and Moses sent spies into the land of Canaan to check it out and to see what they found. And it says they brought an evil report. And I'll start reading here in chapter 13, 32. It says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? So it says all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. They complained against Moses, grumbling. They're asking, why did you bring us here? Why don't we just stay in Egypt and die in Egypt? And then we'll see how God responded to that in verse 26 of 14. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless he shall not come into this land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Zephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses shall be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Zephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. So the whole congregation was, they were to go back in the wilderness and die there. Except Joshua and Caleb, the two that had courage and they trusted in God, and they didn't grumble and complain about the situation they were in. They took courage. And then it goes on to say there how they went into the land anyways, and they were badly defeated by the Canaanites. So God didn't take it lightly there when they complained to Moses. God desires a thankful heart from us. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Telling us there to be thankful. And then we have an example in Luke 17:11-19. It's when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is chapter 17, verse 11. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give God glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, that faith hath made thee whole. So we see here that Jesus, he noticed that. He didn't just brush it off and say, oh, they probably just forgot or something. He asked him, he said, where are the 9? He said, he desired them. He desires us to thank him. And there are many places in the Bible where it tells us to give thanks to God. I wrote a couple of them down here. I won't turn to all of them. But it says, Psalms 30, verse 4, it says, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises to thy name, all most high. Psalm 97, verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Psalm 136, 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. There's many other places in the Bible where it tells us to give thanks. I didn't get them all, but it was very good for me to look into this for my life and to examine my life. I know I can grow a lot in this area and being thankful and just not have a grumbling, complaining attitude, because we have a lot to be thankful here. We're a very blessed people here in America. I hope you all could get something out of this. It was for me most of all, but yeah. So thanks for listening. That's about all I have. Pray that God would bless each one of you. Thank you.